Two guys who like to think they know something about football.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome back to Packer Transplants Live. I am Aaron Nagler, and joining me, as always, is Mr. Corey Behnke, my partner here at Cheesehead TV. I'm coming to you live from Cheesehead TV, New York. Corey joins us live across the street from Lambeau Field, and we are ready to talk some Packers. What do we have on tap today, Corey?
Today, we break down the big win in Seattle and get ready for a Monday night football game at Lambeau Field that could clinch a playoff berth for the green and gold. But right now, it's time for the good, bad, and the ugly. We got the good. We got
Edgerrin Cooper.
We got the bad. We got
LaFleur throwing a challenge flag.
We got the ugly. We got
those Seahawks uniforms. Holy Toledo,
oh my God.
They ugly.
My eyes haven't recovered.
My retinas have been burned. They've been seared, Corey. What? Who thought, you know what? Let's pay homage to Mr. Yuck from the 80s. That's what I don't know.
Let's pay homage to like. Puke.
Let's pay homage to toxic waste. That's what it looks like. That is kind of what it looks like.
I'm actually a fan of LaFleur's challenges, I got to be honest with you.
I can't believe you're saying this.
I'm a fan of LaFleur's challenges.
Lost?
Yes,
yeah,
yes.
Sure.
Because here's the thing about the Green Bay Packers. I don't think anybody knows this, but our secret is that timeouts don't matter. Okay, this is our philosophy in life. They do not matter. They especially in the first half. Especially in the first half.
No question. In the first half, they have no meaning.
Yeah, they have zero meaning. So the thing is, like. It's just one of those things, you know. It's just one of those. You know how
one of those things.
You know how like Dan Campbell, his signature is to do stupid aggressive shit.
Right, going forward on fourth down. Yeah.
Yeah, but like really dumb aggressive shit that gets him in trouble. But like,
sure, right.
He has the number one team in the NFL, arguably, or one of them.
Yeah, one of them.
So LaFleur needs a signature. He needs a signature move. He needs a signature. Kill style,
so what you're saying
right?
is what he's done while coaching arbitrary one challenges. Of the best teams in the league, right? No question about it. The Packers are up there. His signature is timeouts don't matter. Is that what you're telling me?
His signature is timeouts don't matter, and then his sub-signature inside of that philosophy, right? So, okay. Like, if your philosophy is, hey, timeouts don't matter, thusly, right? You arbitrary challenges come with that. And also, like, arbitrary challenges are a superpower. Like, the only way that timeouts don't matter is if arbitrary challenges are a superpower, right? Timeouts don't matter equals arbitrary challenges are a superpower.
See, but, okay, I tend to think, now, maybe we have different definitions here, but a superpower, and hey, shout out, the new Superman trailer drops tomorrow, so I'm very excited to have a new Superman in our life. However, I know, but I'm excited about it, but I'm thinking superpowers. What are Superman's superpowers, right? Like great strength, speed, he's got x-ray vision, he can use the heat laser things with his eyes, all these, he can blow like Arctic winds. These are all things that help him. How does blowing challenges help? I understand you're wasting time out.
Here's the thing.
Right.
So how many blown challenges do you need to get a momentum shifter? And I think that's what he's looking for, that formula. You know what I'm saying? It's kind of like Dan Campbell, right?
Like
how aggressive is too aggressive? Like Dan Campbell has not found he has not figured out
what
to do. The
limit does not exist, right?
Yeah. And so in the same way, in order to change the momentum of the game – or the you know, it's high risk, high reward. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, no doubt. I got you. All right. I'll take your consideration and your considered take here under advisement. And
I'm not saying it's smart or that I like it. I'm just saying it's clearly the it all checks out. Culmination of high. You know, that's all. I'm saying.
I'm owning the fact that timeouts don't matter to me, Matt LaFleur. Head coach of the Green Bay Packers. I can buy
also,
that.
Okay, I'm just going to say this. I said this in rehearsal, but my gloves Like, they've gotten to a smell level. I've just gotten to a smell level, okay? So it might be time to open the new box. The problem is the new box. The new box. The new box is my last box. You know what I mean?
Oh, God,
so then
right, yeah.
It's kind of like arbitrary challenges, right? So, like, how many times can you wear the gloves
you did
before...
not say smell level in rehearsal.
They just have the smell level.
Sorry.
You know how, like, you're all not right. supposed to smell gas, but then when
right.
you keep smelling gas,
it
you like the
really
smell?
Good. You can't. Right.
Yeah.
Yes.
But it
yes.
doesn't smell good, but you keep doing it, and then you right. start to get addicted to the smell. I don't know
oh
if that ever happened
God.
To you, but
yeah,
that's kind of what's happening with my gloves right now.
Corey, I only have one response to that. Let's get to the hotness. Let's do
nice.
It. For the hotness. As usual, with almost every Green Bay Packers game, there were plenty of plays and things to choose from. And we've highlighted a lot of offensive guys this year on the hotness. Occasional defensive players get in there, including this week. Because, man, been talking a lot about Edrin Cooper this week. And, of course, Josh Jacobs and Jordan Love get all sorts of press and shine. I want to give Valentine a shout-out for his first NFL interception, especially since it was thrown to a receiver he was not responsible for. He's not guarding the guy. He peels off his man and makes this play. Let's take a look. Here's the coach's tape from this play. Now, you can see it's interesting. They've got a little kind of do-si-do here. Like, you got him. No, I got him. No, you got him. Okay, now he's locked up in the slot here. Has his man. Eyes on the QB. Oh, here comes the ball. Peel off. That ball is mine. Now, playmaker mentality, taking it out of the end zone. Don't highly recommend doing that next time, but phenomenal work for your very first NFL interception. That, ladies and gentlemen, is hot.
I like to look at it.
Love to see it. And you know what? I was kind of like befuddled in the moment when he took it out of the end zone, but you know,
you really
more
were.
I thought about it. It's like,
it
you know,
you.
First, it did, but you know, first NFL interception, you got big things in your mind about, oh, imagine 10 years, 20 years from now, I'm talking about my first pick, and everyone remembers, oh, it's that one I took 100 yards for a score. So I get
exactly.
it. Exactly. Playmaker mentality.
I mean, I love it when you get befuddled in the moment, but then I'm not befuddled, but then you come around to your befuddlement.
To the non-befuddlement?
Yeah, you get unbefuddled.
Unbefuddled. You know, it's happened. And it'll probably happen
unbefuddled,
again.
Unbefuddled is what will never happen to Aaron Rodgers. Ba-dum-tsh.
Ba-dum-bum-psh. But you know what? I think I'm not going to talk about the former quarterback of the Green Bay Packers. You can't bait me into it, Corey. It's not going to happen. Not today.
Okay. He's an enigma.
The only way it's going to happen is if someone super chats it. But we'll see. We'll see at the end of the show.
He's an
well,
enigma,
we're gonna see,
so you know. Even though
that's
the definition
what I've heard.
Of that word. Even though the definition of that word doesn't fit who he is, but just putting that out there.
But what we're going to do right now is give a shout-out to our friends over at Nicolet Law. At Nicolet Law, their mission is to help you navigate the challenging time that arrives after suffering an injury in an accident and restore your peace of mind, knowing you and your family are protected during your recovery and beyond. And unlike some other firms, when you hire Nicolet, you get an actual attorney that stays on your case and is your main point of contact throughout. Check out the link in the description of this video for more information and to give yourself some peace of mind. Sounds like you could use some peace of mind when it comes to you know, the Green Bay Packers and the news surrounding it, Corey. I think should hit up the Packers news. Starting with, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, Edrin Cooper has won NFC Defensive Player of the Week again.
Nice.
Man. And what fun tidbit here. First defensive player to win the award twice in 1 year since Clay Matthews. It's a pretty good company.
What year was that for Clay Matthews?
I believe it was his rookie year, if I remember right.
Oh, bummer.
But that's
I thought
that's
you were gonna
pretty
say 2010. I thought you were going to get me excited, and then you let me down.
Sorry, brother.
Story of my life.
But pretty exciting.
pretty exciting stuff. I mean, that's a kid who could have potentially probably been in the mix for Defensive Rookie of the Year had he, you know, stayed healthy these last 3 weeks. But it's great to have him back out there. And who knows? Maybe he wins it a few more times. Maybe he wins Defensive Player of the Month at the end of the month of December. We'll see. Other linebacker news, Quay Walker is week to week with an ankle injury. Matt LaFleur indicating that, quote, we'll give him the week, which almost always seems to indicate that he's probably not going to play. Whenever they say, we'll give him the whole week, yeah, that usually means he's not going to be suiting up for the next game, which is on Monday night. So maybe that extra time makes it a little different, but I would be surprised if we see Quay out there against the Saints. On good news, injury tip wise, Watson and Love both escaped serious injury. You saw Watson go down there at the end, kind of drag himself off to the sideline. He said in the locker room afterwards, he just got shinned on that play. Nothing to worry about, but I can imagine it was probably pretty painful. And then Jordan Love took a hit to his leg, and he was kind of hopping around, limping a little bit, and people were worried. And LaFleur indicated absolutely nothing to worry about there. He'll be a full go at practice, which begins this week on a Thursday, tomorrow instead of Wednesday because of the later day start of the game. And speaking of that game, Corey, the Packers can clinch a playoff berth with a win on Monday night against the Saints.
Nice.
I don't know if you were aware of this, but
I was.
Big win.
I thought we would have clinched one last week, but I was wrong.
It would have been nice. What's funny is they could potentially clinch a playoff berth on Sunday,
right?
Before playing, but it would include the Giants beating the Falcons, which I don't see happening. But crazier stuff has happened, so we'll see. But most likely the Packers will be waiting until Monday night to clinch a playoff berth.
I saw some stuff that they're maybe going to like flex the Vikings game.
Still an opportunity to move the time. They can't move the day,
right?
But they could potentially
they
move
it
from
four,
noon.
Right?
Yep, they have until Tuesday. Tuesday is the drop-dead date for moving the start time.
I feel like they'll do that.
I do too. And I know that like people were kind of befuddled that they didn't put it in prime time, but that would have required them moving networks, and this game has to remain on Fox because the last matchup between the Vikings and the Packers was on CBS, and Fox has to get at least one of those. So they will remain on Fox, but it could, like you said, it could move to that late afternoon window.
It's moving.
Yeah, I suspect it will.
The fate of the NFC game, basically. The only team that can potentially beat the Lions for the third time, or in the third game.
We'll see.
There you go. The heir apparent to the NFC championship game.
Man, it's so gummed up because, I mean, the Vikings have to play the Lions again, in Detroit. There's a whole lot going on.
The Vikings are frauds, by the way. The Vikings are frauds.
I'm shocked to hear you say that, Corey.
I mean,
I'll be honest. They look great against the Bears. I'll say that.
They're frauds. They're complete frauds. Dude, did you see in my Twitter handle? I have this. I had this like Viking wannabe fan. He's hilarious, and I only responded a couple times, but everyone's still responding to him. It's so funny when like
that's what's
when
nuts,
somebody
when,
try.
Like, you have one response to a guy, and then, like, days later, people are still piling on.
That's
the beauty of mute conversation on Twitter.
Like, no, I like it. I enjoy it. I come back, and I'm like, oh, let's see how this conversation's going. Oh, not well for this Vikings fan.
Ouch.
Which is usually the case. I remember when I used to get angry, like, people would say something, like, not angry, but people would say something mean about me, and then, like, people would, like, right. You know, like, the crowd would rise up. I like that.
Yeah. Yeah, well, you're beloved, Corey. Come on now. You know this.
Slow down. Slow down.
Well, what's fun about this game on Monday night, I love the forecast being low of 25 with scattered showers possible during Monday night football. Snow showers. Scattered snow showers.
Yeah, Tuesday is supposed to be a crazy day, and I'm, of course, traveling on Tuesday, so...
Naturally.
Oh, dear.
Well, that makes all the sense in the world. Let's take a look at the offense, shall we? What a great game. Coming out of the gate, smoking hot, getting that 14-point lead. Would have been nice to make it 21, but, you know, things happen. But what was so great about those kind of first two drives were the tempo out of the huddle, and it really paid off And it felt like something that they absolutely took away from that Detroit game. You remember how Detroit really got after them and the pass pro really kind of suffered. And it looked like the offensive line was really on their heels early on in that Detroit game, on the road, the noise, etc. Well, to combat that, the Packers seemingly got in and out of the huddle, got that play called, got up to the line of scrimmage and just snapped the ball. I mean, we've seen so many times, right? Get to the line of scrimmage, make your reads, adjustments, calling out the protections, etc. There was very little of that. Now, there was some, but more often than not, especially on some of the running plays, they just got up to the line and snapped the ball. And I think it did help because it caught Seattle somewhat off guard, but it also meant that Seattle couldn't pin their ears back with the play clock winding down, which happened a couple of times in Detroit. So I thought that was a really smart adjustment on, you know, LaFleur, Stenovich, et cetera, the entire offensive staff. That's a really smart way to combat that problem on the road, your offensive line, getting to just get lined up and fire off the ball. That was great to see. Now, this is a question I have for you, Corey, because I kind of go both ways on this because I've been asked this on daily and I wanted to ask you. Do you think it's time to dial back Josh Jacobs' touches?
No.
Because you're playing a no. Saints team that you should beat, no. right? And these other guys are more than capable. And you got to preserve this cat who is so important to your offense. He is getting quite a workload here. But I'm hearing from you, no.
I mean, no. I think you got to do that first drive we got to always do, which is like 10 Jacobs in a row and then touchdown. Right. And then you're like, okay, Wilson, next up.
Right.
So, yeah. So if you're right. talking about limiting his touches in the first quarter, no. But, yeah, if we right. take the game away, yeah, why not? I mean, I feel the interesting part about our running game and our rushing attack since the beginning is, I mean, people complained about it to some degree. You complained mm-hmm. about it a little bit, right? Where it's like, why do we have Josh Jacobs and we're doing a complete, you know, second quarter, drives with
right.
Wilson or, you
with
know, but
else,
if you look
right.
at that, we did learn having Aaron Jones in the way that he played. I feel like LaFleur really learned how to do rotation in a way that is almost like somewhat aggressive early in the season to protect guys over time and also to get these guys more reps. But
right.
I mean, I just think we do that naturally, like with running backs.
Somewhat. Right. Yeah. And but look, he is a different beast, right? He is absolutely yeah. a workhorse. And as long as it seems like he does a really good job of kind of knowing himself and taking himself out when necessary, right? But when yep. push comes to shove and they need tough yards and it's time to like really grind stuff out, he's almost always in there when you need him. So that's what I mean when I go back and forth, because I do understand the kind of reticence or maybe the hesitation in, why are we giving this guy 25 touches in a game against the Saints, where I think Chris Brooks could probably handle some of that wear and tear? But at the same time, you got to win the game, right? And this is your offense. This is your identity. And you want to be clicking on all cylinders as you get down the stretch here of the season, getting ready to go into the postseason. I mean, the one way to do that is to play the game and play with your top level guys and get them in that flow and that rhythm. So, yeah, I think it's a tricky proposition, but I do agree with you that, you know, early in the game in particular, you've got to ride that hand. He is what's got you this far, essentially.
Do people ever watch this show and then when they're done, they're like, I need to go to the Packers Pro Shop. I've been looking
what,
at my camera.
Because of all
camera.
The free advertising right behind you?
Yeah, I've been looking at my camera over my right shoulder and I've been like, I kind of need to go to the Packers Pro Shop. And I'm like, why do I think that right now? Oh, wait. Oh, I'm literally staring at it. It's so weird. I feel like they should pay us for that.
Look, they probably should. But if we're going to be advertising on this program, like through on set or through the, you know, camera, I'm just gonna put this right here. There you go.
Nice.
Grab yourself a nice cold can to carry the G, ladies and gentlemen. That's good stuff right there. You know what, Corey? Jordan Love. He's dialed in. You want to talk about Toyota-thon or whatever, I don't, you know, care about any of that, but there is no denying that since the bye week, this cat has been on fire. He is absolutely dialed in, playing at an elite level. And I, you know, hear the rumblings out there. Well, he's not throwing it 30 times a game. That's not their offense, nor should it
be.
And it's awesome that he doesn't need to throw it 30 times a game. I'm living in my best world right now.
Dude, there are some people out there, like, this is going back to my Twitter feed. There are some people out there saying that he's not the best quarterback in the NFC North, and I'm just like, do you watch football?
Those people are not, like, you know, they're imbibing before they get on the service there, the platform, and then
he's the best quarterback in the NFC, like, which, you know, the other good quarterbacks are in the
NFC. Corey, what's funny, we're talking junk because that's what we do, but look at the nerds agree. Kevin Cole put this out there from Unexpected Point. Like, look at this. Look at the nerds are all over this. Like, it's not just the eye test. It's not just Packers fans. Look at that. He's a top three quarterback in the league using any metric you want to name. Like, the guy is balling out. So it's not just Packers fans blowing smoke. It's not just, you know, oh, we really want him to be good. He's playing really well.
Mahomes is playing a position well on there.
At an insane level. Oh, Mahomes is coming off one of his worst games in a long time. So,
but I would still, he's still, like, I would still say he's still Mahomes. Josh Allen are the, him and Josh Allen are the two best quarterbacks in the league, and then Lamar Jackson, and then probably Jordan.
I mean, Jordan is playing at an insanely high level. And what I think some of the thing, you know, it's funny because when people kind of come across some of the advanced metrics kind of supporting that statement, I always see responses like, I saw a Packers fan today. It was like, I just wish his numbers were a little better, meaning like his old school stats, right?
What?
Because they're so conditioned, especially from the Rodgers years, that good quarterback play, quote unquote, means you're throwing it 30 times, you're putting up 300 yards, and you're throwing for three touchdowns every single game. And it's like, he's still incredibly productive, but he's doing tons of stuff that like won't get on that traditional stat sheet, but he's keeping them ahead of the sticks. He's keeping out of negative plays, and he's still making insane throws. Every game, there's at least two or three just sicko Jordan Love throws. So it's not like, oh, he's just checking it down. He's just a game manager. Like,
I wish.
He's still making insane plays.
So, I wish we had. Yeah. I mean, we definitely screened a little bit more in that game, but we could have had a few more checkdowns, to be honest, to be completely honest.
Well, we talked about this a little bit on Happy Hour last night. One of the things that the Seahawks did well, and I suspect we might see more of this, because he had been doing or has been doing a much better job in that regard since the bye week, hitting the checkdowns, I think you'll see, and Detroit did this as well, more numbers in pressure, like blitzing more, just to keep the backs in. Because a lot of times, like, those backs' first responsibility is pass pro, and then if there's not a blitz, they'll leak out, right? So I think teams will start and have started sending more numbers simply to tie up those backs and eliminate the checkdown possibility because Matt does call quite a few longer developing plays, right, in certain situations. So you're trying to work against tendencies there where, okay, we know they're probably going to try and push it down, so let's blitz to tie up that back or that tight end and eliminate the possibility of a checkdown. You know, that's the cat and mouse game.
excuse me.
But I wouldn't mind a few more, like, called plays for tight end in the flat, you know, running back as an angle route or something like that.
I just realized I never got to talk to Donald about his opinions on motion. I meant to ask him about that.
Oh, that would have been an interesting conversation.
I just wanted to get his take on, like, you know, how much motion did you guys run in, you know, your time? Because they ran a lot less statistically and percentage-wise, but not probably like 10 or 20.
They still utilized it. Less. Right.
They utilized motion a lot. So I just wanted to get – I remembered writing it down, but, of course, I didn't look at my notepad when I
– We were a little preoccupied. Yeah. We were doing some stuff. Let's switch it over to the defensive side of the ball. I mean, good Lord. Edgerrin Cooper. Difference maker. This kid is so exciting to watch. And you can see, obviously, the explosiveness. You see the big plays, no doubt about it, getting the quarterback on the ground, big interception, tackle for loss. But, Corey, what I absolutely love about him, it's very clear when he's on the football field and somebody has the football, the person with the football doesn't understand that they think they have the angle, they think they can turn a corner, they think they can outrun him. Anything they're thinking is wrong. when it comes to what Edgerrin can do to close that gap. I mean, we've seen it so many times where guys see him and they try to like bounce outside or get like take a different route, and he just eliminates it. It's special. It's special stuff we're seeing from Cooper, or at least we saw from Cooper on Sunday night. New York City.
Is that you or me? Oh, New York City.
That's me. That's me.
You know, here's what I don't understand. Mm-hmm. Was Sunday night a fluke for our pass rush, or is it the beginning of a trend?
Well, that's entirely up to them, obviously. It was what they were supposed to do against that team and that offensive line. They have been poor against the rush all year long. They have been problematic in pass pro all season. Now, that said, we've faced that type of team before and haven't really done much, you know? So, to me, that's a step forward for the Packers. As far as we've seen them go up against all manner of different offensive lines, and it hasn't really mattered. They haven't been able to generate much of a pass rush. Well, okay, the first step is, okay, get it done. Do it. Dominate this team that you should dominate up front. Well, box checked, right? Now, can you find that consistently against, you know, obviously better competition, but just whoever's across from you? Because it's not like they overwhelmed them. Some of it was guys making great moves. You saw a spin move from Wyatt. You saw a number of great combinations where you have stunts, what have you. I mean, Edgerrin Cooper's sack, he's literally setting a pick there initially and then gets off because the running back, you know, comes off of him. So now he's got a free run lane to the quarterback. And again, I'm talking about he just explodes. He just covers ground so quickly. So it's like if they can keep doing that, that doesn't necessarily require a poor offensive line to take advantage of, but they got to find some more consistency. To your point, like, is it real? Is it a mirage? That's entirely up to them.
It doesn't feel real to me. I'm going to be honest with you. It doesn't feel real to me.
I hear you. I totally get that. I mean, because we saw what back in week 3 down in Tennessee, they got what, 6 sacks? You know, they got a bunch of sacks that day. Yep. And we were like, okay, they're finding it. Here we go. They got after the Texans, you know, but most of those games have been pretty few and far between.
We didn't get sacks. It's like last year.
That was the Giants last year, sir.
No, no, no. That was true, but there was a game this year where you promised me sacks, and then we didn't get sacks.
I didn't promise you sacks this year for that very reason. I would never do that. I would never fall into that trap.
I feel like I said that you promised me sacks, even though you didn't promise, because you said something
like, "That's exactly what." That's exactly what you did. Yes.
Yeah, like you said, like, "Oh, this team is sack prone," and I was like, "Oh, does that mean we're gonna get sacks?"
And I said, "No," because I've been burned before. Hey, you know what?
I want to get sacks against the Lions. I want to get sacks against the Vikings. I want to get sacks against.
I'll tell you what. There's a chance against the Vikings. That offensive line is not playing as well as it was earlier in the season. But that's a week away. We got to focus on this week. We got to beat the Saints.
What's going to happen after we beat the Saints? Is your girlfriend going to break up with you?
I hope not. I don't know. Okay. Let me text her. She's in the next room.
I'm worried about you. I'm worried.
I have no worries. I think I'm okay.
I think it's a good chance we win, bro. So
that I have no doubt. But
I know how Saints fans are. I feel like Saints fans, like, they're pretty diehard, and they hold grudges, and they got like voodoo and shit.
I told you the biggest fight we've ever been in was about Drew Brees. This is true. We've been dating for almost 3 years now, and that is still the biggest fight we've ever
had. Why, the fact that you said he sucks and that she said he's good?
I didn't say he sucked. I said he was, you know, like, towards the end he couldn't throw, and like they had built their whole kind of franchise around trying to get him back to the Super Bowl, even while it was very clear his skills were diminishing, and like blah blah blah. And she didn't take kindly to that. Drew Brees is a hero.
He never was the guy that he was. Always the projection guy, in my opinion.
How do you mean?
Like, everybody projected him to be good, but then he was only good for like 2 years.
Well, he was really productive. I mean, Sean Payton's offense helped. They had a bunch of weapons. Like, he was good. There's no doubt about it. But, you know, by the end, he was not. Like, it was hard to watch. I mean, that's the other thing. Like, he just couldn't throw the ball. Like, Aaron Rodgers can at least still throw the ball, even though he's not playing very well or at a very high level, although he did have a good game this past weekend. But, like, he can still zip it. Like, he still got mustard on the hot dog. Like, Drew Brees had a noodle arm at the end.
Yeah.
Anyway, we digress. Yeah, he did. Here's the question. Can Valentine grab the job, please? Can he grab the job? without question, his best performance of the year. And that's not even just, yes, he got the interception, but just hands down, his best game of the season. And I know Matt LaFleur said there's going to continue to be a rotation. That was last week prior to this game. Can this game maybe, hopefully, change the conversation a little bit? Because I don't need more Eric Stokes in my life.
I feel like Eric Stokes has the greatest practices of all time every week.
That's got to be true, right? That's got to be true. How is there any other evidence to say, no, we got to keep him on the field?
Bro, he gets an interception like every day, I'm sure.
In practice, right?
Yeah.
I mean, he did have a strong training camp. We were there. He looked good. Maybe that's it. Maybe he's like an all-star.
But I mean, like, what is exactly the criteria? You know what I mean?
I wish I knew. I wish I knew. Speaking of guys having good games, can we get more of that from TJ Slayton, please? I mean, it feels like TJ has been a bit kind of MIA for much of this year. But, man, he absolutely went to town against the Seahawks. And they're going to need more of that going forward. I don't care who it is they're facing. I don't care what the offensive approach is. Man, he was fun to watch in this game. He was licking his chops, getting across that line of scrimmage, causing havoc. Kind of the stuff we talked about this summer. I remember asking Halfley about him maybe not being a scheme fit, which Halfley bristled at. And man, Sunday night certainly suggested that there's something there. So, you know, getting back to your point, Corey, can we see that against other opponents? Can we see that a little bit more of that going forward? Because he was very exciting. Very exciting.
It feels like it's been a minute since he's been exciting too. So, yeah.
I mean, this is by far his best game of the season. Like, not even a question. I think he shined like a little bit early. I want to say early October, but around there he did some things. But man, he has been pretty pedestrian for much of the season. But he was very good in Seattle. But you know what? Seattle, that's already happened. Let's take a look at this big matchup on Monday night against the Saints, who are, by the way, this is, I love this. The Saints are 2-5 in their 7 trips to Lambeau since 1989. Oof. But did you know this? I didn't realize this until I was kind of looking into the history of this matchup. Their first, I believe, 7 games in like at away playing the Packers were at County Stadium. Like starting in the early 70s. Yeah, it's crazy. Like every time they came up to play the Packers, it was always in County Stadium until 1989.
Wow.
Yeah, it's just a little quirk. I don't know how that happened or why, but they didn't play at Lambeau until 89, and they are 2-5.
Interesting.
The Packers are 14-point favorites on Monday, which always kind of concerns me. Like, yeah. I'd feel a lot better if it was like Packers by 8. Or something.
I feel like, you know? What is the ratio of games where we're favored by double digits where we lose versus win? I feel like.
You know what? Actually, I want to
like
say.
It's 50-50.
Actually, I think it's a little better. I'd have to go look, obviously, but I do think LaFleur has been really good in that regard. As far as if his team is a heavy favorite, they've usually covered the spread. But that's just guesswork on my part. Like I said, I'd have to go take a look. And finally, a little reunion on Monday, Corey. Packers legends Jamal Williams and Marquez Valdez-Scantling returning to Lambeau Field on Monday night. Now, I doubt Jamal didn't get a carry against the Commanders. He hasn't been playing much the last few weeks. But I think MVS, he is a legit weapon for New Orleans. He has been a problem for defenses. And, like, it's kind of funny because – this guy has gone from Aaron Rodgers to, you know, what, Patrick Mahomes, right? Josh Allen, and now he had Derek Carr and his backups, and he's still balling out. So, MVS, put some respect on
him. So I guess the NFL can live with MVS then.
Shout out Mark Daniels. Absolutely. If you want to hear more breakdown of this upcoming matchup, make sure you subscribe to the Cheesehead TV Nation newsletter. The next edition drops into inboxes tomorrow morning. Andy Herman from the Packaday Podcast and I do a bit of a deep dive into the matchup each and every week, including Monday night against the Saints. It's going to be very exciting, including, I talk about exciting. It's always exciting when you use Prize Picks Prize Picks is daily fantasy sports made easy. You just select two or more players, pick more or less on their projected stats, and place your entry. Quick withdrawals, easy gameplay, and an enormous selection of players and stat types are what make Prize Picks the number one daily fantasy sports app. Go to prizepicks.com and use code CHTV. Spend $5 on lineups and get $50 instantly. You can join in the fun in the link in the description of this video. Can't wait. Tomorrow, Thursday night, I'm going to have my new lineup in. Show me your lineups. Send them to me. Maybe we can even get Corey on board someday. It'll happen.
Did you make more money this week or no?
No. I flamed out this week. It was terrible.
You're down.
I did a hater bowl because of the Chicago Vikings matchup, and I lost every single one because I was just.
I feel like we should do a you against Ramage like showdown.
That's a good idea.
Prize Picks showdown.
Can
the man with a lazy eye beat the football savant?
Yeah. Okay.
I feel like he can. I feel like he can.
He absolutely can. There's zero doubt because I am not a savant. No question. All right. Let's get to it.
This week in the Packer blogosphere.
That's right. It's this week in the Packer blogosphere, the return of that venerable series. Corey, I don't know if you heard this, but Donald Driver joined the watch party on Sunday night.
I didn't hear it, but I was there. So
you were there, and lots of people joined us here on the YouTube channel. We can't thank you guys enough. Here's a little taste of what went down. Let's take a look.
550 left in the fourth quarter.
We get a pick right here.
There you go.
Then we
now we're talking.
Then we can run the clock out.
We're probably right.
Format.
Yeah. I'm sure you get that every day.
All the time.
Pick it! There it is!
You called it!
Cooper!
All
you
right,
called
Donald
it.
Called
Donald
it.
Just, called
look,
it.
He there sits
you
go. Down.
He literally sits
you
down.
You literally sit down.
Down.
And good shit happens.
Hey, y'all know something? Y'all cannot do another show without me.
Cause I know.
Y'all that's bad. What everyone's been
y'all
saying.
Y'all bad luck.
5:05 left in the fourth.
Ready for that.
Here we go.
And here's
now,
your
hopefully,
dagger.
Let's go.
Take dagger. It.
Dubs.
Touch
it. Yeah.
Yeah. Looked like it touched
let's
the ground.
Go.
No. I think so.
It looked like it touched the ground.
Hey, Dobbs is probably saying right now, I think it touched the ground. But hey, bye-bye.
What's up, Dobbs?
Hey, let's go.
Let's see. Here we go. Here's the proof.
That's
it. Wow. Wait, where is it?
Looks like a catch.
That looks like a catch to me. So great. Man, that was so surreal. That was so fucking fantastic. I mean, how great was that?
I liked it. That was fun.
Oh, my gosh. Shout out to Donald Driver and the Donald Driver Foundation. Raised a lot of money for all the good work Donald's doing that night. It was a lot of fun. Good
He's
times.
Such a natural. He's just he's just the most natural dude you've ever met in your whole entire life.
1,000%.
Ridiculous.
Like, dude just sat down and was like, let's roll. And just, it was on.
Like, we didn't rehearse. He didn't
do nothing.
He just was like, yeah, this is a headset. All right, I'm talking. I know more than you. He wasn't, like, really nice.
Exactly.
He got right into the thing.
I'm super charismatic.
He was, like,
and
ready
I know
to start
game,
talking about
go.
Stuff. Yeah. Yep. He had much opinions about the Packers, like, pre-game. It was great.
Yep. Awesome. Just awesome. Funnily enough, you mentioned Matt Ramage a little bit ago, and funnily enough, I've got
Matt Ramage
in the blogosphere this week because one Matt Ramage has an ongoing beef with former Seattle Seahawks mostly, but also San Francisco 49ers cornerback Richard Sherman, who was giving Matt all sorts of grief last year. And Matt plays the long game, definitely plays the long game, and got it back on Sherman with this tweet here. Let's take a look.
Nobody will fear you going forward. Understand that. There is not a game somebody's going to see the Green Bay Packers in without Aaron Rodgers in the jersey and have fear for you. So congratulations on all your years of like walking into stadiums and having one of the best players on it. You don't have it anymore. So hate me all you want, but understand you had something great for a long time. You didn't appreciate him on his way out. Wait and see.
Go! as he says there, we waited and we saw. In your house, Richard. Those are Go Pack Go chants in your house. We waited and we saw. The Packers know what the fuck they're doing.
The funny thing about Richard Sherman is like, okay, you know how people are like, yeah, former players, like if you didn't play, like I didn't play, you didn't play, right? So we don't know anything.
We don't know anything.
Richard Sherman has said stupider shit on the internet than me, and he's only been at it for like 2 years. So.
Well, his latest
And I've
thing
said
now
some
is,
stupid shit, you guys. I've said some dumb shit on the internet live.
Well, his new thing
like,
now is
shit.
Like, he was
really
literally
dumb.
Chirping on Twitter at some Packers fan about how, oh, the Packers are scared to let Jordan Love throw it 30 times a game. I'm like,
bro,
dog, no. You clearly played on defense. Like, stop talking. Like, that is the most ridiculous thing I have ever heard. But, you know, it's just great to see Ramage get one over on him. And then finally, in Blogosphere, I did want to play this. This is John Gruden talking about back in the day when he was on Holmgren's staff with Andy Reid. I don't want to say too much else. He was on the Bussin' with the Boys podcast, but this is phenomenal storytelling and just this is just great. Let's take a listen.
You know, biggest rival coach out there. We're just like, I want to get his ass. Whether you guys went back and forth, who was your biggest rival?
It had to be Andy. You know, it had to be Andy Reid. We're on Mike Holmgren's staff in Green Bay. Andy played for Mike Holmgren at BYU. So he was kind of the teacher's pet, you know. Yeah. So we had this big board. Me and Mariucci and Andy Reid were young coaches at the time. And we would put the plays on the board with the formations. And these are the plays that we think should be in the game plan. And Holmgren would be doing his thing. He'd come in, he'd sit there and look at the board. And in a different color would be a new play. And Holmgren was always, he was always like, whose play is that? Andy goes, that's my play. That's 69 handoff solid. You get on the board and draw it. Mike would put it in. And Andy would like look at me and Mooch like, I'm smarter than you guys.
Yeah.
So Andy would get a play in the game plan. And it would be called. And it gained 6 yards or it gained 8 yards. And Andy would walk around the office all week like, that's something.
That's awesome.
So now we're not playing good and people are starting to get on Holmgren's ass a little bit. So we go into the room, there's all the plays and there's this play called Fox 3 fullback slide 58 all go Z search. Holmgren's like, what are those plays? I go, those are my two plays. And I had to cut up and I, well, you don't like our plays? Is that what your problem is? You don't want to run our off? He was on my ass, like yelling at me. I'm like, fuck. So we go play the Bears on Halloween night. It's pouring down rain, the worst night in the history of football. 3rd and 2, early in the game, Holmgren calls red left, fake Fox 3, naked right, fullback slide. I swear to God, Brett Favre kept it, runs it in, longest touchdown run of his career, 36 yards on Monday Night Football. I'm on the sidelines. I'm not saying anything, but I'm like, God damn, that's my play. So listen, late, this is a true story. Late in the game, we just need a first down, the game's over. And it's like 3rd and 14, and I had seen Dan Marino run an all-go with a little search route. And I put that play in, and Sterling Sharp ran it better than Mark Clayton and Mark Duper ever ran it. Favre threw it like a 23-yard gain to ice a game. That's my play, too. So we get on the plane, and Holmgren's sitting in the front with Ron Wolf, the GM, and I'm in the back. I'll never forget this. I got my beer, and I'm drinking it. I'm thinking, fuck, God damn, well, that was the greatest day of my life. Holmgren turns around. He goes, hey, Gruber. Calls me Gruber. Hey, Gruber, come down here. I walk down a fucking thing. I sit next to him. He goes, game ball. Hell of a job. I turn around. I walk back to my seat. I see Andy Reid and I go, game ball. I love compete with Andy Reid. And then when we competed against each other and he was in Philly, I was in Oakland or Kansas City. I mean, I just used to love seeing him and we still
That's
laugh
awesome,
about
man.
This. Phenomenal storytelling. And like, you know, Gruber, the whole thing. I was there that night. I was at that game at Soldier Field on Halloween night when it poured. Amazing. Just amazing
stuff. You weren't on the plane, though.
I was most certainly not on the plane. But I was at the game, and I saw Brett Favre make that run. It was incredible. All right, let's see what's going on YouTube. What are the folks saying, chatting about?
What's YouTube? Just kidding. Mm. Ryan, oh, wait. Hold on. There's two pages of chats. Mike Witt, hey guys, with the success of Double D on Cheesehead TV Watch Party, I'd love for more former Packers on Watch Party, like Don Majkowski, or after next year when he retires, have Mark Murphy on one.
Yeah, we'll get right on that Mark Murphy thing. We'll get right on it.
Okay.
Could you imagine Murphy on a Watch Party? Could you imagine?
I'm just going to tell you right now, I know no one is going to believe what I'm about to say. Okay.
What's that?
I know more about Packers football than Mark Murphy. No. Okay. So there you go. Oh, yeah. That's a true statement. Matthew Amazing. Clark. Being told to go to bed at 4:30 a.m. by Donald Driver is a highlight of my life. Mrs. Clark, conversely, didn't find it so when woken up to hear my news with a can of cider in hand and slurring heavily.
Shout out. Die hard, man. Chat. Love it.
Joe, Corey, if you throw those gloves away and we start losing, we're going to need you to go dumpster diving and get those back. Don't worry. So here's the thing. These are 2004, I believe, wide receiver gloves. Now, maybe 14. My bad.
What's a decade?
14.
What's a decade?
So I've bought, every time I see these on eBay, I literally search on eBay every month, and I buy as many as I can find. And here's the problem is I wear a little different size, so I wear a smaller size, so they're actually harder to find. And I haven't been able to find any in a long time. But I do have one new box left. So I've actually, I think I have five pairs of gloves so far I've gone through.
Amazing.
Robin Lawrence. Banky, we need a Carry the G cocktail. The ingredients are Carry the G and a smile.
I like it. That'll work.
I like it.
Let's do it.
Also, shout out to Steve on the YouTube who had taken umbrage.
Saw that.
Not a douchebag about it. Really nice. I tend to like, you know, there's the whole James Bond, stir, shake, blah, blah, blah. And, like, I have always done Manhattans like whiskey sours, so, like, I will shake them because I get them colder than stirring them and less diluted. But, Steve, shout out. Thanks for the tip. And got a new Curly's Pride drink on the old Cheesehead TV cocktail. Going to have a couple more cocktail videos coming out, and we're going to have a couple videos about Carry the G. We're gonna have a Carry the G short is coming out tomorrow from the Ridgeview tasting we did a couple weeks back. Mike Witt.
Sweet.
And I'm still waiting for the Eeyore merch to drop. Badoom. Ryan Willie Nagler, you should explain to Andy from the Pad podcast how important timeouts are in an NFL game.
Well, I'd have to explain that to Corey Banky as well. And I've tried to explain it to Matt LaFleur, and it has all fallen on deaf ears. So what are you
Here's the thing about timeouts. Okay, here's the thing about, like, there's another chat where somebody, like, talks shit about me not knowing about football. But here's the thing. Whatever, if the Packers are winning, whatever the Packers are doing is good. Okay?
Amazing. Amazing analysis. Incredible.
Really
simple. You can't beat it. You can't beat it. What's hilarious, though, is me being in town Thanksgiving week and going to the final availability before I left with LaFleur, where he legit makes a joke because he knows I always go after him about the timeouts. He makes a joke about how, oh, you know how I love to waste timeouts in the first half in particular. And then the next game, he literally did it.
He does it all the time. It's a signature.
It's who he is. I know.
He just, I mean,
it's who he is.
Hey,
I know.
We're 9-4.
I know. Ten and four.
Sorry, I had flashbacks from last week. Here's the thing. The best cocktails. So football is a little bit like the best cocktails. Okay.
Oh, very good. I like it.
And here's what I'm getting. Here's where I'm going at. Okay. Football is actually, you know, you talk about the X's and O's, Jimmy's and Joe's thing, right?
Sure. Yeah. Absolutely.
And one of the plays that I love that has seen a huge resurgence, we talked about it last week, is, you know, the modern day version of the Packers sweep, which never really went away since, you know, 1962 or so. It never really went away, right? Somebody ran a version of it sometime.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Right.
And really, it's the pulling guard action and ideally the pulling center as well, right?
Right.
So, and that's seen this resurgence. It's a simple thing, right? And it's like the jumbo play, right? It's like, oh, I get one more guy that's 200 pounds more than the whole line.
Well, and you need to have those linemen who are, you know, comparative to their peers, more athletic. Like,
It worked for the Seahawks, but it's a quote unquote simple play, right? It's like one of those plays where like you can know that I'm running it and I can still
But I'm still going to out execute you and win.
Yeah, it's simple. Right. It's like a good old fashioned. It's just you make a nice homemade simple syrup. You have Angostura bitters. You make pick a nice whiskey. You dilute it right. You know, you might add a little saline, maybe not, maybe a little special, but if you don't add that, it's fine. It's still really nice. And it's just like really simple things. Right, so you can't don't get away from the simplicity is all I'm saying.
I don't know where I started that from, but that don't happen. All right, you were making comparisons between making cocktails and the game of football, which I'm down for.
Yeah, well, it's the simplicity. Clay Minnick, you know what, although it's the illusion of complexity, which is really simplicity.
Ah, there we go. Bringing it back to the floor.
Thanks for the super chat. We squandered some years of Aaron's, whether with the D or wide receiver. So frustrating not having a legit wide receiver across from Devontae in my feels today.
What?
Are we in 2021 or what?
I don't understand people who look at that team being final Rodgers years, and thinking anything other than, yeah, if Bakhtiari doesn't have a freak accident, we have another Lombardi trophy. Like,
well, and I'll, man, and some, I'll do at some you point, one better. Like, I'll do you one better.
All they,
I'll do you one I mean, better, and it's something that we learned about. We've now learned this, and we and it goes back to something that nobody wanted. Everybody got shit, the hand signals with the wide receivers thing. But really, that hand – look at our wide receivers, right? Mm-hmm. I'm telling you this right now. If in 10 years – that Aaron Rodgers, so from 20, when did he leave? 2022. So from 2012 to 2022, if Aaron Rodgers had spent a little bit more time with his guys and in training camp and in mini camp and in all the things that he poo-poos right now, guaranteed we win a Super Bowl. Guaranteed. There's no way we don't win a Super Bowl in those 10 years. If he just spends the time. Time spent with your loved ones makes all the difference in the world, Aaron.
Especially this holiday season.
So there you go. Johnny Rivers, has Matt LaFleur shared any stories about his childhood? If he had the penchant for mischief I did, I think it makes total sense why he doesn't like timeouts.
Wow. That's deep, Johnny. So a joke with a so hint he didn't of get to... truth searching. I like it.
So wait. So the idea is he doesn't like timeouts
because
when
he was
people
put
took timeouts,
in timeout
they would sub him out?
As a punishment.
Oh.
No, just a parental timeout. Like, you're in a timeout. Mad
got it
kind of thing. Yeah,
got it.
I don't know, but I know a new edition of the Matt LaFleur podcast just dropped from Matt Schneidman, so maybe Schneidman asked him.
Doubt
go
it
go and find out.
I mean, here's the thing, like, has anybody done an analysis whether timeouts in the first half actually do anything good?
I don't know, Corey.
I want to see the science. I want to see the science.
Get to see the numbers. You know I want to see the deep dive. I want to see the papers out of Harvard.
I want to see the PFF grades.
Harvard was way ahead. Somebody at Harvard was way ahead back in the day. I mean, I'm talking like 10, 15 years ago, doing a study that said NFL coaches should be going for it on fourth down a hell of a lot more. Now, I don't think they had Dan Campbell in mind, but that was way before teams started going for it. The plus side of the 50, etc. So maybe some intrepid researcher at in an Ivy League school or somewhere else will produce that report for you, Corey. Possibility. Okay.
Ed, have no feelings at all about the Saints. Just want the Packers to roll over them.
I love this idea. I'm all about it.
I like where you're at. Mike Witt, after 14 weeks, does Brandi Lewis like Halfley?
This is an excellent question. I believe she was trending towards yes.
I think it's doubtful.
Is what I remember from the last chat on Daily a couple weeks ago. But things may have changed. We'll have to check in. Brandi, if you're in the chat, which I assume you are, let folks know.
Yeah, I didn't see what her response is, but she answers in a little bit, so we're going to get to that.
Okay, there we go. There we go.
Joe Mailman, Saints run D not good. Run, Josh, run.
There we go.
I like it.
Now we're talking. Because I'll tell you what, though, their defense in general is pretty legit. I mean, they held the Commanders down for much of that game. last week, and they have been pesky. They haven't allowed a team to score more than 23 points all year. So, you know, it's not going to be an easy task.
The Commanders good, though?
They're a playoff team. Right now, as we said.
NA Productions, did Donald Driver remember when? Yeah, he did. He did.
He most certainly did.
I told him I was going to do that, or I thought about doing it. He laughed. He thought it was funny. Mike Witt, any trash talk between you and the girlfriend, Negs?
Not a ton. We're kind of ignoring the fact that, you know, the Saints and the Packers are playing this Monday. It'll occur. It'll happen. I'll be here in this room doing watch party with Corey, and then I'll have work to do after the game. She'll probably be asleep by the time I go to bed, and that's probably for the best.
Brandy, Hathley both pisses me off and makes the game winnable. Typical Packers football. There you go.
I mean, you're not wrong, Brandy. You're not wrong.
There you go. I'm not explaining what my gloves smell like. Cody McCullough, hey all, I have to apologize. Since my son has been born, we're 3-1. My mistake was letting Grandpa hold him before the Lions game and him saying he's going to be an Eagles fan. Taunting.
Oh, my Lord. You talk about family drama.
Oh, Lord. Grandpa.
I'm glad you're coming clean, though. I'm glad you're there for the football gods to hear you. That's
I hope
good.
Grandpa's
that's
still good. Alive. Mimsy, yeah, thanks for Super Chat. Need a Matt LaFleur, Mr. Krabs meme that says, wait a minute, I hate running the football when he needlessly stops feeding Jacobs. Pound the rock.
I mean, okay, wait. Let's stop for a second. Because, I mean, for years, and I mean years, I mean a million billion years, we've been talking about run the ball. Run the ball, run the ball. Matt LaFleur, Mr. Throw It Around the Yard, has committed to running the ball this year more so than any other season. Not only that, like, he is, like, any Packers play caller in, I want to say, like, since 2003 when Brett broke his thumb and they knew they had to run the ball with Amon Green. Like, that, it's that level. So it's hard for me to sit here and say, oh, Matt needs to do this to commit to the run more. I mean, he's committed to the run in a big way.
KT Goodlow, thanks for Super Chat. First time catching you guys live before work. Go Pack Go from Fort Worth, Texas.
What's up, KT? Thank you. Thanks for checking in.
What's up?
Thanks for the support. Appreciate you.
Mimsy, how did Minnesota GB not get flexed? I'm going and thrilled. It may be.
Could still be moved to the late afternoon window. They have until Tuesday to make that call, and they, like Corey said at the top of the show, they probably will.
Pandaman 6, and this is technically in regards to my comment about Drew Brees only being good for 2 years.
Oh, here
Corey's
we go.
Corey's lack of ball knowledge is so annoying sometimes, LOL. Okay. Pandaman 6, meet me at camera 4. Okay. I'm going to say this right now.
All right. Okay.
I understand that this is an entertainment show, and I'm trying to entertain you. I may be failing, but also where my spine is. So here's the spine of the character that I play on Packer Transplants. It's actually my own spine in real life. I'm using the word only is not, it's an understatement when I use the word only.
It's not a word that's strong
enough. So I only care about that place. That's the NFL for me. That's everything. Every other 31 teams, you know how like the Harlem Globetrotters, they just play a bunch of shitty teams? That's how I feel about the NFL. Okay? So Drew Brees could have had 10 fucking good games or 10 fucking good seasons. I don't give a shit about Drew Brees. Did he ever play for the Packers? No, I don't give a shit. So I don't care. So I can make a joke on, hey, he only had 2 good years because I don't give a shit. Okay? So just letting you know that, buddy. Mike Witt. Never thought I'd say this about a kicker, but I think McManus is number one priority. Come on, Mike Witt.
You couldn't even finish the chat. Wow.
Just no, get rid of I this gotta chat. Just refund
what does
his
it
money.
Say?
Just refund
what does
his
it
money.
Say?
No,
wait a second.
I'm not
no,
gonna
no,
read
no,
it.
No, no, no.
You can read it.
No,
if people
what
can
does
read
it say?
It's on the bottom.
I'm reading it now.
But I think McManus is a number one priority to resign. especially after Carlson and Narv puppy experiment. And I just kicked my mic down.
Yeah, as one
Mike Witt, I'm going to refund your $5. Thank you. Matthew Clark, shout out to our O-line, been so consistent as a whole. Thank you, Matthew
Absolutely.
Clark. Very good. Very, very important statement. I know that last year we were really concerned because we kept going back and forth and back and forth.
Well,
I
so
do
many
think
kind of turnstile, like left tackle, right guard, guys in and out, blah, blah, blah. And then did not, the group did not perform very well out of the gate last year. They have been stalwart this season. No question.
Yeah. I mean, last week, not last week, but the week before the Lions game, they weren't that great. Yeah. But
to start,
Rashid Walker has been crazy good. Like,
he's been so good.
Down.
He's been so
I still
good.
Want to replace Josh Myers, and I don't know if that's.
And
just
guess like, what? The Packers are probably going to. So you'll get your wish. That's my guess.
I put Corey Linsley gave me this poster of him that I think I showed you, and I put it in the Nagler suite on top of the 1936 equipment trunk that I have.
Nice.
And it looks really nice, and it just made I'll me. Bet. I looked at it. I was just staring
made
at it.
Made you nostalgic.
I remember when we had a good center. That was nice.
Yeah, those were the days.
Alas, Mike Witt. 30 years ago today, Brett leaped into the end zone in County Stadium to beat Atlanta. Great game, great memories. Go Pack Go, guys. 34-17, Pack Monday. Mike Witt, why can't you, all of your Super Chats be like this? You know what I'm saying?
The best part of that game, or that whole kind of play, that story, of course, is, and I know most people probably know this, when prior to that play, there was a timeout, and Brett goes to the sideline, and Holmgren legit says, the last thing he says to him is, don't run it. And, of course, Brett runs it for a touchdown. Yeah,
that checks out.
Classic.
Ed, you laugh, but the Bears held on to Mitch Trubisky for so long because he was so good in practice.
I guess.
And they're the Bears.
And they're also
so there's
the Bears.
That.
Yeah.
Joe Mailman, does Richard Sherman work with Adam Schein? Nobody should, because then you'd have –
Shine and Sherman coming to you
what's
with
funny about
ignorant Packers what's, takes.
What's funny, yeah. Like, that's the thing. This is the thing, okay? I'm not out here trying to be an expert on anything like half of these national media experts. You know what I'm saying? Like, I am barely, okay? And I'm trying hard. But I am barely an expert on Green Bay Packers history from 1917 to 1944-ish adjacent. And I barely know, like, 60s history and some 50s. You know what I'm saying? Like,
yep.
And I don't have the memory that you have. I mean, this is what was great about being with Donald is, like, Donald could bring up a game, and I could be like, yeah, 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 I remember that. And then you would, like, say what the play is. And so I'd be like, yeah, that's good. We look smart. I'm smart adjacent. I'm smart adjacent. You know what I mean?
You know, I will say one of the nicest thing that Donald said, and this is after the stream, was he legit said, it's so obvious you two have been, like, fans together for a really long time. And I was like, yeah. Like, we've been doing this
that checks out.
Legit for over 20 years. Like, yep, that works.
Yeah. Andrew Ware, 2014, because I have the same pair, found them. Oh, yeah, thank you, Andrew Ware, my gloves. 2014. I thought they were 2014. I don't know why I thought 2004. I'm just old. 2014, because I have the same pair, found them locally in Memphis on FB Marketplace. They made the trip to Lambeau this year. We're winning on Sunday. 34-14, playoff spot secured.
There you go, Andrew.
So what
Ware,
you're saying is, Andrew, you're copying me and you're taking gloves that I need?
Well, Corey, have you been on Facebook Marketplace?
No, I haven't.
Sounds like
but
you
I
were
bet
just been
Andrew's
on
hands are bigger so. Than mine. Yeah,
probably.
I have only been on.
I would, yes.
Sean Gatchett, correct. Mark Murphy for president. No. How about no? How about no?
Next.
Actually, you know what? Okay, not to get political,
God.
But I would take Mark
God,
Murphy
we were
over.
So
I would,
close.
I would take Mark Murphy, honestly, as much. Okay, wait. I take it back. I would take Mark Murphy as president of the United States over anybody that's ran for president in the last 10 years. So, you know, hey, not as president
executive
of the
experience.
And you know what? Hey, the president of the United States, there's no, you don't have to retire at 70. So there you go.
Yeah, so you can just
keep the dream alive, Mark. Mark could create Titletown in Washington, D.C. That would be nice. Mark could.
Oh my God!
I'm
cutting all this
out.
I'm cutting all this out.
I could do this for days, bro. Ryan Willie, do you think the Bears game will be a Saturday game? Thanks for the super chat. I had this question too. I was going to ask what you think about this.
I got to admit, I'm kind of 50-50 on this. I could see the rationale about putting it there, but I doubt it. I think at this point the Bears are so bad, I don't think the NFL is going to want to put that in a marquee kind of slot. You know what I mean? I get the appeal of the Packers, Lambeau Field. It'll be cold, hopefully maybe snowing, and no TV executive wants to say no to that. But
beatdown.
Yeah, I doubt it. I think it'll be.
I'm here for the beatdown.
I'm all about it. Yes, sir.
Mike Witt, LOL, Corey, I'm a natural pessimist. You're a natural optimist. We can still live under same Packers fandom, can't we? Yeah, I'm not a gatekeeper either. I'm down. You can be anything you want. As long as I can call you names, I'm fine.
I mean, true.
I'm not
very true.
It takes all kinds of Packer fans, and
it does.
Yeah, I'm here for all of them, and we're here for all. We're dedicated to Packer fans worldwide. So
worldwide, baby.
That's literally been our slogan since 2007. It's all about Packer fans, and so yeah.
That's what I never understand about this younger generation who like really kind of take umbrage and like divide things in the fandom, like. I get it. You don't agree with certain takes. You don't like maybe the way people approach the game. Like, things like that. I get it, man. It's not for you. That's fine. But, like, the way the internet devolves into, like, personal attacks and just kind of really kind of belittling and tearing people down, like, that's just wild to me. I don't get it. We're all Packers fans. We're all rooting for the Packers to succeed. It's pretty simple in my eyes.
Johnny Rivers, Putin is a complicated fella, President Mark Murphy.
Oh, Jesus. Look what you've started.
I mean, maybe we should find a spot for Mark in the Trump administration. You know what I mean?
I mean, why not, right? Let's go. Herschel Walker.
It's either that. He's
your latest
either
ambassador
that,
to the Bahamas.
He's
why
either going
to
do Let's that go. Or run his Door County Golf Club. You know what I mean? Country club. So
country
you know.
Club, yeah. Could happen. What else we got?
That's all we got.
All right. Shout out to our Patreon members. Cheesehead TV could not exist without you guys. You're the lifeblood of everything we do. If you would like to support the Cheesehead TV brand in any which way, shape or form, head to patreon.com/cheeseheadtv. $5 a month is all we ask to help keep things afloat, keep the lights on. People have been doing it for years. You guys are the lifeblood of Cheesehead TV. Cannot thank you enough. Care of the G Club members here on YouTube, thank you so much for the support. You guys get early glimpses of the Corey Banky cocktail videos each and every time they get uploaded. So thank you. Thank you for the support, and thank you for making watch parties a ton of fun. You got anything else for the fine folks at home, Corey, before we head out into the night?
No, I have a really good idea for watch party. I'm thinking I'm going to talk to Della about it, but I'm thinking we do the same thing that we did where we have a Lambo cam, but then I'm in the office and then we do a pip left and right. And then on offense, people can see the fireworks.
Beautiful.
Full.
I love this idea.
So I was thinking about that earlier, but
it'll look gorgeous Monday night too. Yes. I'm all in.
Yeah. Cause you'll, and that way it's like we can just pip each other and then it's going to be nice. I like it.
Absolutely. Perfect. That'll do it for this episode of Packer Transplants. We'd like to thank everyone who makes Cheesehead TV part of their daily Packers routine. We are and will always be devoted to Packers fans worldwide.
I think it's a fluid situation, and we're I know you guys love it, especially Nagler. I can see you smirking at me right there. We're going to take it one day at a time, and just it's going to be fluid, though. That's all I can tell you.